The Interracial John Podcast is proud to support the Women's Freedom Conference, a 100% digital conference centering and amplifying the unique voices and experiences of women of color around the world. You can now register for this historic October 25th event to gain free access to most presentations and panels and purchase tickets for the live keynote event taking place in New York City. Speakers at the conference include activist, writer, and conference director Feminista Jones, NAACP Brooklyn President L. Joy Williams, Jameel Hill, Catherine Finney, Mickey Kendall, Lourdes Hunter, and many more. Visit womensfreedomconference.com for full information and to register today. And join me, Leslie Mack, on Twitter for Women's Freedom Friday, a live tweet. This week, we take on the subject of self-care and self-love, and my guest is Ferguson organizer Virtuous Queen. Use hashtag Women's Freedom Friday on Friday, October 9th at 11 a.m. Eastern to join the conversation. Take it away, Janelle.
Shout out to Lou.
Ooh, look at you. The Perfect Day song. I like that mix. Welcome to the Interracial John Podcast. I'm your host, Leslie Mack. I'm joined, as always,
by a very white guy.
And you're very white indeed. And now we are back for what is a very long overdue recap show of Fear the Walking Dead. We're going to be
recap cubed.
Yeah, recap cubed. We're going to be going through episodes 4, 5, and 6. And we are joined, as we always are for this show, by a Black Rob. How are you doing, Rob?
I thought it was Black Ass Rob.
Either way, goes by both. But his illustrious self has joined us once again. So what's going on, Rob?
Not too much. Glad to be back. Thank you guys, as always, for having me on.
Thanks for being here. I know it was like we were sick and then I was out of town. There's a bunch of things that convoluted to stop us from coming on the air, but we have made it.
We are here.
Life was hating on it.
Yes, yes.
We persevered.
Yes, we did. We pushed through.
If you want to jump into it, that's why I played Lou Reed's Perfect Day. That was the cold opening, I think, of episode 4, was it?
Yeah, episode 4, Not Fade Away, the quick tagline for that. And we're going to go through all three episodes, the last three, and then also do kind of a general our take on the season and our hopes for next season as well at the end. But we'll start with episode 4, which is Not Fade Away. Madison and Travis see different sides of the National Guard's occupation in their neighborhood, and the family tries to adapt to this new world order. So I thought this was interesting. You know, Dog was the episode before this. It was very like, I would say that the group was split up, and so it was interesting to have them come back. And I think we're told that it's been
9 days
since the last episode. What were your initial thoughts on the episode, Rob? What did you think of this kind of shift? Because to me, the narrative shifted in this episode from the first three episodes to this next three.
Oh, hugely. Yeah, the narrative shift big time. My biggest takeaway was 9 days. Holy shit, that's like a lot. The world really fell to shit in just 9 days. You know what I mean? In terms of the National Guards occupying people and or you know, occupying neighborhoods and taking people away and all this stuff, you know, over just 9 days. And my other big takeaway, well, not takeaway, but just I wish we would have seen more of kind of the why behind the what in terms of what the military was doing, kind of like why they're doing things the way they were doing it, you know? that was my only kind of the only thing that I wish I would have got more of.
Yeah, for sure. Drew, how about you? What were your original, you know, initial thoughts on the, on that fourth episode?
I remember, like, I don't know why, like, not thinking Ophelia was that good looking. Like, the actress, the guy was like, damn, dude, Ophelia is fucking gorgeous.
You like, were like, you were literally like, who the fuck, who's that? I was like, it's Ophelia. Ophelia? Like, damn,
whoa.
Where'd she come from?
Salazar.
She got all of that? Oh, I didn't know all that.
No, and it was, like you said, it was like a different feel. There was a couple of, like, I think, like, bigger arc cues they gave you. Like, they said that you were one of 12 places like this, like 12 refugee camps east of some seaboard.
I think right, that was
a clue they gave you about, like, what's going on nationwide. And I remember Travis was still a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? Like, he's all buddy, he's all buddy buddy with all the army people and shit.
I like that they gave him the mayor nickname in this episode.
Right away.
So I appreciated that. And Madison was throwing hella shade at him, and so was Liza too, because he ain't shit. So, but we'll get into all that as we walk our way through. Not Fade Away.
Other takeaway.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Dirty ass pool.
Oh God,
Nick is a fucking scummy guy.
He's so gross. It's not even funny. He's so gross. Okay, so let's jump into it. Opens up with Chris sitting on the roof of the house, and he's videotaping and kind of doing some, like, existential narration of this video he's taking, similar to kind of what he was doing at the protest two episodes before.
Filming,
and I'm part of something. He's such a, like, angsty shit. I can't stand him.
He's going on me, though.
And they also show Travis going on his little run, you know.
Yeah,
that, take a little,
that's when Perfect Day was playing. He's got his earbuds in,
stroll.
Like nothing's going on. Like, hey, out for a run,
take a little stroll.
This dumbass, when the other thing, the electricity's out and comes on for like an hour a day, and he runs in. He's like, electricity's not on yet, and opens the fridge. You know that's what you're not supposed to do. The electricity's out. You keep that shit closed.
You're mad at him already for getting milk hot.
Dumbass. You know that's like rule number one.
Shit, that's hilarious.
Jeez.
Chris sees like that light across the way. So he sees a light in a house outside of the perimeter that has been erected, kind of flashing Morse code-ish, you know, kind of thing. And it felt like they were trying to let us like check in with everybody in this beginning part. So we see Travis pretending everything's fine because that's what he does, apparently.
Yep.
Madison's shitty. She's delusionally trying to continue to clean like brain matter off of her wall by painting it.
Another coat. You can still see the pink. No one's coming to buy your shit. It's okay.
Madison dropped that shit. She's like, Mom, I don't think we're going to have any takers on the... Real estate market's kind of turned.
Do you have to disclose that when you sell your house that you killed a zombie in your living room?
I don't know if that's maybe post-zombie apocalypse.
I think that's in the owner's disclosure. There's brains over here.
Right, but I bet you would like flip at some point and be like, only 16 zombies killed. Like 16, wow.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
I can work with that.
Exactly.
No current zombies though?
It's been cleared? Okay, cool. Yeah, exactly. So they show dirty ass Nick in the filthiest pool ever, like chilling like a villain. And Madison asks him, does he need meds? And he's like, nah, dude, I'm cool. What'd you guys think when he was like so like just chilling like a villain in the pool? Like, I don't need no meds. Meds. Give him to the old lady.
I could tell he was high right there. I didn't know how he was doing it. I'm like, fuck, there's something. There's no way.
Yeah, exactly. That was the first time we've ever seen, probably in 3-4 episodes, that we ever saw him not pressed to get some drugs. You know what I mean? Like, he was jumping any chance he had to get some drugs the whole series. This is the first time she's like, hey, I got some drugs. He's like, no, I'm okay. I don't need any drugs.
No, I'm cool.
Something had to be up, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Had to be up. He's shady anyway.
There's no way. He was too much of a... I mean, he's a junkie. And he's not going to like all of a sudden be like, yeah, I'm cool. No big deal.
Yeah, no.
Whatever.
He's the opposite of cool. And then they trip up on, as I like to call him, Officer Too Big for His Britches, Moyers, announcing that the safe zone is infection-free for 6 miles around the perimeter and ignores everybody's questions. Like, you're lucky. Shut the fuck up. And Alicia and Ophelia, hot ass Ophelia, as I'll refer to her moving forward.
Thank you.
go to get their rations for the families. I guess that's food has become a shortage already in just 9 days, which is kind of surprising to me because last I checked, like, white people have hella food in their houses, like shit they don't even be eating half the time. So yeah, I was a little days, 9 days
is long.
I guess if you got like 19 people in your house like they do, that it could go quick. And Ophelia starts flirting with one of the shoulder soldiers, who's played by that dude Sean Hatzey from Southland. I like that kid.
He's yeah, cool. He's all right.
Cool people, good actor. And so what did you guys think? Didn't you think it was 9 days was a little too quick for her to be already like cozying up to some soldier? I mean,
it was a fast turnaround. She went from like virginal, like, you know, mythical, like don't touch her, like chase to like, ooh, I mean, you know, apply my sexuality for rations. But, you know, hey, it's apocalypse. Mm. What are you going to do? Pineapples. Pineapples, Ophelia. Pineapples, Ophelia.
Find somebody quickly.
Show some DNA.
One little thing that happened was that Alicia goes over to the train house and she finds the letter that the next door neighbor had written to her husband.
Right.
Clearly after she's been bit, or did you guys think it was before she'd been bit?
I don't know.
I took it as she, like, because wasn't there a bunch of pills on the table? Like, in the previous episode, when they were going through the house, she saw like a, you know, open bottle of pills or like a bunch of pills on the table. I took it as she overdosed on pills.
I kind
of
did too.
Oh, that makes sense. And that's how she got, because now we know everybody turns. So yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. But she also mentioned in the letter, she goes, she's been seeing things that, you know, she doesn't believe. She thinks she's going crazy. Yeah, doesn't she say all of that?
Yeah,
stuff?
Because there's been some crazy shit going on.
Yeah, for sure. But that's kind of like nuts and sad to think of her over there by herself, like not saying anything to her good friends next door who she helped through their tough time. Typical white people. Yeah. Only
And the one daughter did like, we should say something. He's like, no.
They won't believe us anyways.
We know more than them.
Let them eat them now. Yeah. Then we'll live. And then, you know, Travis and Madison had to have that old angry sex in the car. Cause
yeah, I get it.
You got a house full of miscreants. That's what you do. Ophelia tries to get her boyfriend to get medicine for the mom, which is what I think is the real reason why she was trying to get a little something in.
Sure, why not?
She's her father's daughter.
Apply her trade.
She was using what she got to get what she want.
Exactly. And then Mr. Mayor gets called into action because something
happened. Because he's a dumbass. The guy's like, that too. You want to, you know, it's either we go in there or you go in there. Okay, go in there. Why is it my job to go in and talk to this fucking dude? Right. You want to go in army style? Be like fucking at it.
Yeah, I'd be like, and what you calling me? I'm going back on a run.
That's not my problem. Look. Mm-hmm. He got roped into some bullshit. That was his fault. Dummy. Like opening that fridge. Just stupid.
Yes, for sure.
Didn't he say he wasn't even cool with Doug like that?
He wasn't. He don't even know me that well.
I barely know him.
I barely know that dude. Yeah, because really he just moved into this house with these people when they when they were setting up the whole season. It wasn't like he's been living there forever. She's like, so are you sorry you moved in?
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
It hadn't been long.
So he doesn't like know everybody, but apparently in 9 days, everybody knows him and his nosy ass. Meanwhile, Liza has been playing doctor to everyone, even though she's not even a fucking nurse. And we get introduced to Dr. Bethany Exner, who's working for the government and is coming around to kind of figure out what's going on. Now, in the meantime, we saw Liza give medicine to the neighbor next door, right?
Yep.
And it's morphine through a intravenous drip. And soon as Liza leaves the house, who sneaks in?
Fucking Nick, dude. Slick. Under the table. Between the toes. You went, what was that movie? When Matt Damon did that shit?
He went
Black Hawk Down style.
Fucking
taking it between the toes, intravenously.
Yeah, that was a junkie achievement unlocked.
And he like laid the, under the...
You're right. That's like a level 7
level
junkie.
Level 20.
He upped it.
And he laid under there. Like if anybody came in, they wouldn't even see him for real. Like he would just be like under there like
some
getting
shit
stoned.
Between the toes.
Oh, man. He's such a dirtbag. And why is he still in that old dude's clothes?
Yeah, for real though, dude. He stay in them fucking clothes. The pants.
It's been nine goddamn days.
I refuse to
believe.
He got
in the pool and then put them back on. Let's keep this in real perspective.
He's going through people's fucking cabinets and shit looking for dope, and he can't fucking find a pair of pants to fit. He can't find some blue jeans or something.
That's his look. He's cultivating it.
Jeez.
It's called homeless chic. That's what it is.
It's called futuristic dystopic junkie.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, we're laughing. That's going to be what's in style.
Word.
Dystopic junkie. That's the thing.
Now that I'm thinking about it, isn't that what Kanye's line looks like? Really? Like,
nah, Kanye's look
like. It really is.
It really is.
$200 for a t-shirt.
It won't be $200 in the zombie apocalypse, but it will look just like that. Like shoes that don't fit or close correctly.
Zippers in weird
zippers
places.
Zippers everywhere. Yeah, gotcha, you know? Oh my goodness, that's true. Okay, he could market that. Go ahead, Kanye. You can take that idea. I gave you permission. Dr. Exner goes to examine everybody that Liza is involved with, and this bitch drops dime on Nick.
Yep.
Let's talk about that for a moment.
That was cold-blooded.
I thought it was like not just cold-blooded, but it's like you clearly are super skeptical of everybody. Like, that's been her character. She has not been stupid before. She hasn't said stupid shit. She hasn't thought stupid things. And she's been very questioning of everything, generally speaking. So for her to just, like, trust this woman right off the bat is very strange to me. But it just shows me she don't give a shit about Nick.
Well, we know where that leads her in the end. But when she did that shit, the best was fucking... Madison walks into that living room, points right at fucking Liza. Liza, she did this. Like, fucking no, like, didn't mince any words.
Yeah.
She did this. Like, damn, girl.
I like this episode too. I thought the pacing was really good. It was like slow, you're getting stuff, and it was one of those, like, it got out of the station. It was like, and then it just like took off, and the last like 20 minutes was like no holds barred.
Starts with Madison slapping fucking shit out of
now
Nick.
Yes. So is this episode that was her name leaves though and sneaks outside? No, that was the last episode, wasn't it?
No, that was this episode. She had snuck out. She went and looked and said everything's all fucking dead and everyone's fucking, they had real, you know, non-infected people were getting killed too. She went onto the fence because Chris was looking at the fucking lights.
Right.
And I remember it was like, damn, dude, fucking Travis is such a fucking like, well, he ain't doing shit. He fucking like, oh, like the mayor, this and that. Where Madison's fucking cutting fences.
Right.
Going
she
went broad daylight.
Right.
Wasn't even fucking at night.
But actually it was smarter to do it then. I thought it was really smart because she could see everything. I think it would be much more dangerous to be going out. Madison, she's pretty fucking woke.
And that was, the woke fucking guy's always been Salazar. As soon as she comes back, he's like,
what'd you see?
Tell me. More.
He went in full like
interrogation mode.
Yes, that's what I was gonna say. He went in full like download information mode, like immediately. Mm-hmm. And so Dr. Exner says she's gonna take Griselda for surgery and says that of course that Daniel can go with her. Of course, she's your wife. Sounding all shady, might I also add. And she goes to examine Nick. Nick's like, your ex wife's a narc. Which I appreciated. Thank you, Nick, for that. And Alicia makes that tattoo permanent on her skin, which was gross. And also kind of stupid. Why are you walking around? You know they're looking for people with bite marks and scratches, and you're going to fuck up your arm like that.
Leave it to the white girl to do like a prison tat in her fucking bedroom in the apocalypse.
So Daniel drops dime, is like, I don't trust the government. Shit's gonna go bad, especially after what you just told me. I'm going to be going with my wife. I don't know if I'm going to come back or when. Make sure you take care of Ophelia.
No, it was better than that. He goes, you're going to take care of Ophelia.
Right.
No, it didn't. You are going to take care of Ophelia. There was command.
And then he says, stay close to your son.
Yeah, he knew that shit right off the bat.
Madison's like, fuck.
Keep him close.
So she goes to look for his junkie ass. And of course, he's going through one of the neighbor's houses for drugs. She beats the shit out of that kid.
Slap, 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 slap.
I was like, whoa.
You don't even know. Whack. Came out of fucking right field with a big old slap. Haymaker slaps, like a dozen of them.
That's that whooping that, like... That's all that pent up aggression. She'd be wanting to whoop his ass like that for years.
Forever.
Just let it all out.
She was like, fuck it. It's a zombie apocalypse. This motherfucker, that's it.
I mean, she already done been to the fucking high school and fucking had to like smash fucking principal what's his name's head in. She'd
been through some shit. Yeah, but those weren't his son.
To get his drugs, she'd been through some shit for Nick. She'd done all this shit. everything has started, she's been doing for Nick. He's like That's the true. Eternal fuck up.
He is. That's why I know he's going to survive.
That's a sure bet. You're going to live to fuck shit up for a long
sure
time.
Sure will.
Seasons.
So she beats his ass, and he goes to the bathroom, and she gets drunk in the garage. They come to take away Griselda to go do her surgery, and they won't let Daniel go. But they're like, but we taking Nick.
We
got another name on here.
Nick.
He's going. They're like, no. And they have this whole fight. Now, I'll say these fucking people, the whole episode, Travis would walk into a room, question what was happening. Somebody would tell him what happens, and he would go, okay.
Yeah, that's his MO.
Every time. Whoa, what's this? Oh, she's just examining him. Oh, okay. Whoa, what's this? Oh, they're taking her to get surgery at the hospital. Oh, okay.
You said there was a fight, but Nick caught a fucking stock to the face, dude. He got smacked in the face.
Yeah, but they was about to hit. Chris, they was about to hit. Daniel, they didn't give a fuck. They were like, nope, we got orders and we rolling.
I love the actor who plays Nick, because as soon as he said, no, we only have orders for two people. It was Salazar's wife. And they said Nick's name. His crackhead instincts kicked in. He said, oh, gotta go.
Oh,
and he
got
off running.
Madison, what's the daughter, too? She was like, run.
Yeah.
She did.
Yeah,
he was
for
not
sure.
Not sticking around to see what they wanted him for. He was like, trying to get out. And then that's when he caught the rifle stock to the face.
Right to the face.
Yep.
And so Liza, meanwhile, sees that Nick is being taken away, and she's like, come on, he's fine, I'll take care of him. And she's like, I need your help at the hospital. You really want to help? You want to help them? Come with me. Now, my thing is, she got in that truck because she knew she went back in the house. Yo, Madison was going to beat her ass.
She ran and hid, yo.
She was like, she got my son. I better go with hers. Like, that's how I took it.
I'm a bounce.
She was like, I'm not going to even get into it with this white woman today. Let me just roll with this chick.
That doesn't look like she'll cut him in.
She really... She, look.
She's like, I'm going to go change some bandages until this shit dies down. I'll come back in a few days.
Travis goes up to the roof to see the person in the light. He sees the signal, and then he sees fucking gunshots blazing up the place, and then darkness. And that's the end of the episode. So... I thought it was a good episode. I thought it was a good signal of that shift that I mentioned from the first part of the season where it's like, what's going on? To like, holy, we're in the crap now. And it's amazing. It took 9 days for it to happen. But as we'll guess, Tobias let us know when it happens it happens fast. So
where's Tobias been? A bit? He'd be good
I don't
to come
know.
Back.
He didn't come back. This well,
he
would
be
know.
In Alexandria with Rick.
That would be awesome, right?
That would be.
Like, what's up, Rick? Hello,
what's
up, Walk-Ass Tobias? How you
doing? What's up, Walk-Ass Tobias?
Man, it's been a crazy 5 years.
You don't even know. Most irritating character of this episode, Andrew?
Travis. Come on. As soon as you open that fridge, like, that's it. I'm
done with the fridge.
God damn it. How dare you?
Rob, how about you?
For me, it was... Is it Lieutenant Moyers? Is he a lieutenant or
oh,
captain?
Oh, yeah. Captain Moyers. Yeah. He's annoying as fuck.
I hated him. I hated the way they wrote him, mm-hmm. the way the actor played him. He was just, like, over the top and buffoonish for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, playing golf and shit. There's a couple
of
pieces
that
are, like,
stupid. Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Unneeded.
Me, I gave it to Liza because I just was, like, she just was annoyingly trusting of that doctor chick, and it just was so out of character that it irritated me an extra amount, so... That's what I would say. 1 to 10, what do we each give the episode? Rob, I'll start with you.
I give it a 8. A solid 8.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were giving letter grades. We're doing
no,
numbers.
We did
right.
Did we?
Yeah, we're doing letter grades.
Oh, okay. So A through F? Okay.
How about
a B?
B minus.
Okay, gotcha. Drew?
I'd say it's a B.
Okay. Rob, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, like, I just... wish they would have got more into the motives, and maybe that goes into the next episode a little bit, but like, why are we containing this neighborhood? Why are we yanking away people who, you know, certain people, like the kind of like, what's the military's, you know, standing orders right now? What is their plan? Is it containing the virus? Is it curing the virus? Like, you know, we didn't really get much of that. We just got, you know, Captain Moyers being a buffoon, and then them yoking up Nick and was it Neighbor Doug and all them. So I just wanted to see more of the kind of why they were doing the stuff they were doing personally. Mm.
Yeah, I hear you on that. That would be a good thing to be able to see. I guess I would give it a B. I thought it was, like I said, I like the pacing of it. I like how it got much, all that action happened at the end of the episode. And I thought it set up some good dynamics, especially like the connection between Madison and Daniel, which I think was good to set up. They hadn't even had a scene really together before this. So I liked that scene. And I thought that was shot really well and acted really well. And Nick's the most consistent character in the whole show. Like, he has not, from the moment he opened his eyes in that crack house, like, it's been just the most selfish.
Yeah,
like,
you're singing your motivations to get high. It's pretty obvious, pretty easy to be consistent.
But you know what? I've seen shows that they make shit like this happen, and then all of a sudden, like, the person, they try to make them have, like, a heart of gold underneath junkie. He's a good, and it's like, Nick has none of that shit.
I said that a little bit later on. I said, he's the most realist, like, depiction of a junkie, you know, a heroin addict specifically.
He really just, like, does not give a fuck about anything else. And I respect that they have stayed true to that character, so
He's real as fuck.
He's definitely real. So,
in the later episodes, the one dude in the prison with him says, don't sell yourself, sir. You're the granddaddy of junkies. Yeah, exactly. You're a heroin addict.
We're going to get to him in a minute. we'll get to him soon enough. So, the next episode was called Cobalt. And, Cobalt. Is that right? Yeah, Cobalt. And we open up with Douglas Thompson, who is the guy that ran away from the place, that the one that Travis was sent to find, and he'd been taken away to the military grounds, the husband, in a holding cell at the local military command post. And Strand, first introduction of this character, fellow cellmate dressed in a smart suit, taunts him, saying he's not strong enough to care for his family, but that his wife is hot enough, because he shows him a picture, to land a man who could take care of her, so you shouldn't worry about that. The soldiers hear Doug sobbing, and they take him away, and Strand sidles up to Nick, his only remaining cellmate, and says, "So, who the hell are you?" And that's the start of the episode. First of all, best introduction of a character, probably in the history of the Walking Dead franchise. Like, I just want to say, like, it was so cool and just
badass
out of nowhere, like, using this like throwaway character to introduce this clearly
pivotal
role.
The kudos to the writers and the producers and everyone involved for introducing a black character that's not dead within three episodes. That's you know, so far so good.
And also, I might add, I certainly by the end of the last episode, I had dubbed him the most woke black dude in the history of the Walking Dead franchise.
All right.
Yo, ever. He was so woke in that cell. He was already
like, nah, it's a new world order. Shit is going to be different now. He made the one comment when he asked Nick where he would live at, and he was like, I would have gentrified the shit out of Encendido. Like, oh, really? Is that what you would? He's like, but nah, we don't got to worry about that no more. Just like, totally was awesome. I actually tweeted the actor who, funnily enough, Drew, is really good friends with Jessica.
Okay.
Random. In fact, you remember when she did that workshop in New Hampshire?
I do.
He was the director of that piece that she did. So, okay. Anyways, but I tweeted out, everybody go on and follow the most woke black dude in the history of the Walking Dead franchise. And I tagged him, Coleman, I think his last name. I can't remember his last name now. I'll put it in the notes. But he tweeted me back with three laughing smiley faces.
I got a sidebar. We didn't even talk about Benga in our last podcast. We totally forgot about it.
Oh, shit. We didn't. Okay, we'll have to
put a pin in it, listeners. Ask the John about Benga, because the John knows a lot. Okay. A little bit too much, I think.
Don't talk about that part. So I love the introduction of that character, and I thought it was really cool. What was your overall thoughts on the episode, Drew?
Loved it.
Yeah. More than the last one, or you thought it was like
about the same? No, I think they're building up good. I think it's, and I think, again, I don't know what they intended with six episodes. And now that we're getting ahead of ourselves, we've seen the six episodes. I thought it was a good, like, sometimes shows will, like, get a bump. They get like, they do three episodes and they're like, okay, now we'll do nine more. And like, oh fuck, like we didn't have a 9-episode arc. We have to like stretch it out kind of weird. So you get some episodes in the middle that are kind of like chunky and bad. And I don't think this had that. So I thought it was good.
That's cool. Rob, how about you?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think it was definitely a build-up episode to the finale, which was just dope. You know, I enjoyed it. We got introduced to a really good character. We got to kind of see, you know, that shit is fucked up and how fucked up it got so fast. You know what I mean? Like I said, I really liked it. When I first watched them, episodes 4 and 5, I was like, you know, it's okay. As you say, the narrative kind of shifted. It got to be more about the military and their occupation and stuff like that. But on rewatch, I really like what they did. And like I say, building up to that finale, I really enjoyed it.
Well, are we going to talk about the whole episode? Like,
yeah, we are. We're going to talk about it.
Because Salazar fucking, you're talking about like character development.
Yeah, that
like,
was
He's been dope. And then you're just like, oh man, like he's fucking just, he ain't fucking around.
Yeah, and I also thought it was really good. Like, I feel like up until now, they had given the viewer the impression that the military had a handle on everything. And so I loved that this episode was like, yeah, they ain't got shit handled at all. Like, dude, whatever illusion we might have had about like, okay, they know what they doing, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, that's how shit gets really fucked up because they don't even know what the fuck they're up against. And they don't even have a good handle on what the fuck to do because obviously the situation, and I mentioned this, obviously, the longer you get into the zombie apocalypse, the worse it gets, generally speaking, because it's just more dead people and more zombies and less of you. So it's interesting to see, like, already this shift of numbers happening quickly within people that are armed, that know how to kill them, that are, you know, trained to do so. So that was interesting. And also, they touched a little bit on it, just like deserters, which is stuff I would expect to see. People are just like, what? You want me to do what, man? Fuck you. Yeah. I'm out. Like, for real. It's a zombie goddamn apocalypse. I'm shocked they were able to keep any of them doing anything because I know my black ass would have been like, nah, I'm out. So, yeah.
Deuces.
Deuces.
Be all I can be over here.
Y'all, yes. Y'all handle that. I'm going to just be over her. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So back in the safe zone, Ophelia hurls objects at the perimeter gates because she wants the troops to take her to get her mom, who they've taken away. Corporal Castro moves in to restrain her, and her boyfriend intervenes and comforts her and says, let me take you home. That's your first mistake. Adams is his name. Chris asks Travis how they're going to get Liza, and Travis reminds him that it's Liza's nature to help others, which is why she went with her willingly. Mm-hmm. Travis then asked him to apologize to Madison. Okay, so this scene right here is how I know they had to not cast a black mother in this show.
they couldn't.
Because there's no fucking way that child would still be breathing, much less not even really been talking to except like, you better apologize. Bullshit from his daddy. Talking about Madison, what did he say? Would you be quiet while my father and I are talking about family business? Like,
got lippy.
First of all, this is her motherfucking house that your bitch ass is laying up in. I'm fairly, exactly. House. I'm fairly certain that your mama's crib is not in this safe zone. Doesn't get intermittent electricity, and you surely would not be sleeping in a bed every night. So I don't know what the fuck you got a problem with. Not to mention, your bitch ass mama left on her own accord and took my son with her. So I don't think you have really much space to be pissed at me about anything. But okay, whatever, dude. The worst. Such a mess. He's the worst.
He's a mini Travis.
He is the worst.
The teenage Travis.
Terrible. So in the medical ward, Liza attends to patients under Dr. Exner's supervision. And they find out that Griselda had to have her foot amputated. But she doesn't answer her about what's going on with Nick. Madison finds the suicide note that Alicia found and realizes that Alicia's been back over there. She goes over there to find Alicia, but instead finds Daniel and Ophelia in the basement where they have tied up Adams to a chair. And Daniel coldly looks at Madison and says, this is how we bring him home. Madison's like, you know what? Sounds about right.
She backed the fuck up. She didn't say peep.
She was like,
peep.
She's all like, right. Makes sense.
Go ahead and nod and walked out.
Fuck.
Tell me more.
Do what you got to do, man. Do what you got. Do you. Do you. Adams tries to assure Dale, Madison, and Ophelia that Griselda and Nick will come home once they've been treated. And Ophelia insists that Adam doesn't know where they're being held. But Daniel's like, bitch, get out of here. You my daughter and all. I love you. But let me. You, this is grown folks business. Yeah. You can't be up in here. Ophelia tells Madison that they can trade this Adams dude, which makes no sense at all because they don't want that kid. Who the fuck they gonna do with him? And Daniel's like, yeah, that ain't gonna happen, but we gonna just, I'm gonna just cut some flesh off this motherfucker and we gonna get what we need. Madison's like, well, I don't think that's cool, but whatever. I'm gonna go upstairs. You do what you gotta do. No harm, no foul.
He was surgical about it too. Like, the next layer's got more nerves. Yo. He was gross.
It put me back. As soon as that scene came up, I thought about, you remember when we were, when they were in the barbershop?
Yeah.
And Chris was like, they just have some combs in here and stuff. And he's like, there's more here than combs. I was like, ooh.
And we also, I don't know if it's this a little bit later in the episode, but he reveals he was telling that story about the fucking person in the chair and the, you know, the torturer and the torturee. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I never told her who I was. Now she knows I was the torturer.
Yep.
But you got to do what you got to do.
You got to do it. You got to do it. So he unpacks his razor blades, and then he talks, as Drew just mentioned, about his past in El Salvador and how he carried out torture-based interrogations for the military government there. And Adams is like, please, they're at a command center. They're 2 miles away. And he's like, that's cool. That's good information. It's not all the information I need, but it's good information. I'll be back. So he continues his interrogation with him, and it looks so painful. I mean, I thought that scene was done really well.
He was being flayed.
Like, oh, my gosh.
His skin's being...
so gross. Rob, your thoughts on that scene? I thought it was...
Yo, I had to turn. Like, I get, you know, grossed out pretty easily. So, like you said, I was like, I'd have been like, look, I'll tell you everything. I'll tell you the passcode. I'm here to take my keys.
Word.
Anything you want to know. Here's everything.
I kind of thought the same thing, but low key, I was like, I want him on my team. Like,
I'm Salazar?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if I can coat pineapples, where's Daniel? He's coming with me.
I would take Nick, man. Salazar, Tobias, Strand, and fuck all them other people. And maybe Liza. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But.
No, I think Madison could fucking get down. She's crazy, but she'd get down. And that's part of it.
Yeah, but she a white woman. I can't be fucking in zombie apocalypse.
Not in the zombie apocalypse.
Come on now.
Not in your apocalypse.
Nah, not my apocalypse.
Not my fucking apocalypse.
Not
you
in
ain't
my
gonna do
apocalypse.
It.
Oh,
coming
no.
up with your white zombie feminism bullshit. Fuck you, motherfucker.
Oh my goodness.
That's,
exactly.
That's what you should rebrand, white feminism. Zombie feminism.
Mm-hmm. TM. So the thing also, I thought though, Rob, when you said you would have told him everything, I think he would have cut you anyways. I think that when you're that kind of interrogator, like, it doesn't matter what they tell you up front because you have to go through with your threat to just ensure you really know everything. Like, you could be like, I swear I told you everything. It's like, yeah, I almost believe you, but I really need to make sure. So let me cut into your flesh
your
a bit.
Your confidence level is not until you get to nerve number
exactly.
Like
10. Exactly. Yeah, it's like you really have to go there. So it's like, it's just lose some skin situation. While they're driving through, Travis talks his way to, like, force them to take him into the dead zone and to where Nick and Liza are. And as they're driving through, they see
a zombie.
No, they see a zombie first.
Yeah, right.
And she's, like, a waitress in a diner, and she's just, like, ugh, all zombie-like in her uniform. And they try to get Travis to pull the trigger. And, of course, his bitch ass can't do it.
Travis.
He ain't built for this life, man.
Sure ain't.
Well, this episode. He ain't there yet. He's a little slow on the upkeep.
Yeah. Dr. Exner identifies bite marks on a newly admitted soldier and has him killed immediately. She tells Liza that they can't risk letting potentially infected patients live. And she uses this quote, lest they all start finding out how the neighbors taste. Ooh. That happened in 9 days too, doctor?
Good
you
Lord.
Just went there? Oh, okay. And they are using a captive bolt pistol to just get into the heads of anybody that's getting killed. So they ain't fucking around in this hospital, basically. Like, you about to die, you not coming back. And they're, by their hands, they're not going to let you come back. So they receive a distress call, the convoy that Moyers and Travis are on, and they head over to a building overrun with the infected, and they order Travis to stay in the vehicle, and, well, it goes pretty bad for them there. And that's I liked because, like I said, it just really showed that, like, even though they're pretending like they've cleared everything, they've got it all under control, they're hitting golf balls, but in reality, like, they could be killed at any moment, too, and these zombies don't give a fuck what you got going on or whatever's happening. Like, their numbers are good, and you're about to get fucked up. If two things go wrong or one thing goes the wrong way, like, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Slim margin.
Yeah. Meanwhile... Daniel wants to know what cobalt is when he's flaying Adam's arm.
Now he's good at his trade
because he keeps hearing it on the radio. Yeah. Cobalt. He's like, it's something important. What does it mean? And it ends up meaning that they're pulling out. They're like, fuck it, we can't.
I thought it was more than just pulling out. Like pulling out, and they're like, maybe like nuking the place. Like I feel like something. Like was it more than just pulling out? I thought it was something big.
I thought it was like they're leaving everybody and they're pulling out. Like, they don't give a fuck. Y'all going to be on your own. The people at the hospital going to be on their own. Like, they're just leaving. And they're not evacuating any more people. That was what I took it to mean. That, like, the soldiers are leaving, but the people aren't leaving, pretty much. Okay. And that's pretty bad because it's been their only sense of security thus far is that the soldiers are there. Alicia and Chris, they have some little, like, you know, teen angst party in some lavish home. And... start breaking up shit, and Chris stares longingly at her, you know, back or something.
I felt like she gave it a little bit back.
She might have, but whatever.
A little, and they're not blood related, but it's creepy. Dead.
All I have to remember him is this prison tattoo. So you know what? You it's and me, on. Chris, we might work out.
We might work out, boo. You and might be my new apocalypse. Boo. My apocalypse boo.
You're gonna be my sister lover.
In the holding cell, guards take Nick's temperature and detect a low fever. They start to take him away, but Strand's like, nah. He convinces this dude, Melvin. He gives him his diamond cuff links, and he lets Nick stay. Nick's like, why'd you save me? And he's like, because you were a heroin addict. You could survive, motherfucker.
And he said, I can have use for someone like you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means. That's some cryptic shit.
Well, he shows him the key that he has to the cell, and he's like, you know, I'm going to need your help to get the fuck out of here, basically.
That's true.
Their little situation they got going on. So Travis listens in on the military radio, and he hears, like, shit going really wrong, and Moyers gets killed, clearly, and, excuse me, and they go to the command center, or they start to go to the command center. He's like, he's not coming back. Castro admits he's about to roll. That dude that's with them, the commander, he's like, I'm going to San Francisco to get my wife and daughter. Fuck this shit. I'm out. Which is, like I said, I can't believe everybody hasn't done that. Just
for real. I'll be like, on that trip a while ago.
No way. Madison hears Ophelia scream, and she goes over to the Tran house. Ophelia flees, and she's all upset. Daniel bemoans that Ophelia may never understand his treatment of Adams was necessary for their survival. And Madison's like, well, did he tell you what we need to know? Yes, he did tell them what they need to know. Specifically, that at the stadium, there are some 2,000 zombies that they chained and locked into the building and left them there. Awesome.
Were they zombies when they put them in there?
No, they were not zombies when they put them. Well, some of them were zombies.
He said they turned all real quick.
He said some of them were zombies. And what happened was they weren't able to, like, extract everybody with ensuring the zombies didn't get out. And it was already just turning bad. And they just locked the shit up. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. They were like, fuck this. Half of them are zombies. Some of them are zombies. They're all about to be zombies. So fuck this. And they just, like, locked everything up. I will say, do the zombies just stop eating you once you become a zombie? Like, that's the part... I never actually got this in The Walking Dead either. Like, sometimes you see them eating somebody and, like, they'd eat the person to, like, there's nothing left, right?
Yeah, that does happen.
But then some of them, they don't?
I guess it depends on the number of zombies that get you and how soon they get you. And I think once you turn,
you mean they fill
stop
up with them?
No, they stop eating you once you turn. So, like, if one zombie gets you, they can't eat enough of you, and, like, you turn, and they're going to stop eating you.
Hmm.
But if, like, 30 zombies get you, you're like a pile of guts in a head. Hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Is that how you understand it too, Black Rob?
It seems to be that way, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that seems to be pretty consistent with how it is across both, you know, shows. Like, because in the, well, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but yeah, it seems like if you know, you just get devoured by a crew of zombies, then you don't turn because you die too fast. So,
oh, maybe doesn't the poison doesn't get inside you or whatever,
right?
In the dying process, yeah, maybe so.
But I don't think they get full; if they're insatiable.
Mm. That one did eat like all of Lori. Remember that?
But then he was up in there for like a couple of days. Yo,
was he though? I don't know. If it was a couple of days because Carla killed her, and then Rick came back and was like, he had to like cut open the zombie's belly because Lori was in there. I don't know. Whatever. Anywho, it was kind of ridiculous. Liza finds a drying rack with lots of blood. She decides to go further and she finds a holding cell. She finds Griselda. She tries to talk to her. And Griselda starts saying some crazy ass shit. She's talking about there's a devil. He's come. He's inside me. He's taking me away. Now, they say she's in septic shock, but now I'm feeling like maybe it was the zombie disease that she had that maybe was killing her. And
it does make you burn up.
Yeah, and that it almost like made your mind go like zombie as well. I don't know how I'm describing this correctly, but that there's almost like a mental component to it as you're like making that switch over. I don't know. They haven't showed anybody in this regard. They've only showed people that have been like they're dead and then they come back. So they haven't really showed this full transition.
I don't know. Most people are, at least on The Walking Dead, they have a high fever that like knocks them out and they're just on the bed like,
right.
And they're like,
and then they wake up, right?
Yeah.
And then they turn, yeah.
And they turn, right. Mm, interesting. She was scaring the shit out of me. I was like, listen, you crazy old lady, you better cut it out because that's kind of creepy. And they realize they're going to have to kill her. And Dr. Extra goes to get the, you know, the gun thing,
the cattle prod thing.
And Liza's like, nope, I got it. I'll do it. Cause you know, that's just, she's just down.
I thought that was some pretty dope efficiency though. Like, you know,
she didn't play. She didn't
they had it. They had the fucking CO2.
It wasn't
fucking
loud or nothing.
Nah, just thump, thump. Head trauma. You got to make it happen.
Done for.
I mean, that's what you would do, right?
Yeah.
If you were like a hospital and shit,
definitely.
We saw that hospital before. That thing was a travesty, man.
Yeah.
And like the second episode, the hospital was like fucked up crazy.
Surprisingly humane way to kill people.
I thought it was too. I was like, okay.
Yeah, like burning and shit. You're, you know, chopping heads up or anything. It's, you know, just quick and done.
Right. Okay. So Drew, you were right. So Adams tells Travis that Cobalt is a command code to initiate military evacuation of the Los Angeles basin and humanely terminate the surviving civilians.
Yeah, I think that is a
so they were gonna
mass
kill them
extinction
all.
Kind
yeah,
of
you're
deal.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
And he said this was supposed to take place at 9 the next morning. So
something.
Yeah, so that's what happens there.
And you know, we've seen only the East Coast. And they said there's these 12 facilities over this way.
Right.
Humane. You don't know. It could be nuclear.
Could
you have
be.
No idea.
We don't know. Also, we do get Dr. Exner confirming and saying out loud to Liza that it doesn't matter how they die. They come back anyway. So I thought that was good for them to get that kind of information. Because I do feel like on The Walking Dead, it was a lot of like half known, jumbled up information. Like they didn't really get a good download of shit till they went to the CDC.
But even then, every other bumpkin they run into didn't know shit.
True, but they did. I'm saying
true.
They did. Chris and Alicia start seeing the military vehicles loaded with soldiers, and she's like, something's not right. And Daniel, it ends the episode with Daniel going to the arena and standing outside, and you can hear and you can see the doors being pushed. And lots of zombie activity.
And Chris and Alicia didn't just see the soldiers driving away, they saw them looting and shit. Like the soldiers weren't just leaving, they were like stealing shit. Like, let's get the fuck out.
Yeah, you're right. They were loading vehicles and driving through the neighborhood and, like, taking shit. Yeah, you're right.
They didn't care about them for shit. They all were like, oh, yeah, we've been fucking up this house. Like, nope, they're just fucking taking off. See ya.
All right. So, most irritating character this episode. Andrew.
I'm going to go with Liza at the hospital.
Okay.
I don't know.
Just weren't feeling her.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Chris because he sucks. And if Madison knew it was good with her, for her, she would have slapped the shit out of him just like she did Nick the previous episode and just keep things on an even keel. Let them know I'm not tolerating this bullshit. So I'm going to go with Chris. And how about you, Rob?
Yeah, for me, it's a tie between Chris and Alicia with their teen angst.
Oh, God.
It felt like, oh, we got to find something to do with the teenagers this episode, so let's have them do this dumb shit. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. By the way, they're still here, by the way.
Yeah, but even then, that's like only like minimal of those sort of like, I would say like throwaway, like no
yeah,
purpose.
I mean, they kept it pretty efficient.
Pretty tight.
Yeah, they kept it pretty tight. For me, A through B, I gave this one a B+. I thought it was actually a really solid episode. I thought it was a good setup, as a penultimate episode. And like I said, I really liked getting, like, really seeing the, like, yeah, this military shit don't mean nothing. Cause I also was thinking, like, if they have their shit together, then this show's gonna kind of be about them being occupied. And I wasn't that interested in that. So I liked that they kind of were like, nope. Psych your mind. It's not going to be about that. Yeah. Just like it's not going to be about a road trip, which was how they kind of started off things. I think it's been a lot of like psych out moments. And this was yet another one where we thought like, okay, it's going to be about this military occupation and how the military is like, nope, fuck the military. It's going to be about something else. So I like that added aspect of it. And that was good. Rob, how about you? A through F.
I give it a solid B.
Nice.
It was a good episode. Not bad. Solid B.
Salaby. And you, Master Drew.
Yeah, B again. I thought Salazar's character was great. Like, just he ain't fucking around. I thought that was awesome. And it was a good setup.
Oh, and Strand. I got
meeting Strand.
The plus
was
for Strand. That's why they got the plus, because it was just such a cool introduction of the character. And even though they didn't give you very much in the episode, I just thought it was like, whoa, who is this dude? I was really interested in him. They hadn't introduced a character on this show yet that I was really like, I want to know more about that guy. So I appreciated that.
Yeah, new dude to the group.
Yeah. So that was neat. And a black dude. So, you know, extra plus
for
that.
And one they didn't kill right away.
Boom, boom. No, they did not. So
bonus.
We come to our final episode, which was just a couple nights ago, The Good Man. As Silver Rust grows and the dead take over, Travis and Madison devise ways to protect their families. And so overall thoughts on the season finale. Rob, what were your, just overall thoughts about it as the ending of the season and kind of setting up for next season and, you know, capping off this first foray into another part of the Walking Dead universe?
I loved it. I loved the finale. I thought it was great. It was action packed, suspenseful, just really well done. As Drew's pointed out, you know, as we've been doing these recaps, it's like they really did write a 6-episode story arc, and I thought it wrapped up real nicely. I loved it.
Yeah, agreed. And it was, you got the massive zombie carnage that people have been looking for.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're just like thousands of fucking walkers, like overload of fucking zombies. And I just thought it was action packed, and it was a very good point to end. And I can see where they're going to go. They've got 15 for the next season. And I thought they left you with some, like, really great setup and some, I don't know what this is about. This dude's got some fucking boat named Abigail. Like, you know, there's a lot of, like, oh, all right. Like, I'm not – it was a good – like, the Walking Dead is the same thing. Like, almost – not each season, but many seasons. Like, oh, we got the Terminus, and there's, like, something that happens. And then the first episode of the next season is like, oh, man. And then there's a new, like, quote-unquote MacGuffin for that that season, like a long arc. So I thought that was a very good 6-episode long arc. You know, they're – whatever they were building to, getting out of the fucking town before Cobalt happens. And it was good. It was really, really good. I was very pleased as a viewer.
Yeah, I thought that it was really good. And I thought that, all of that stuff, that it set up the thing. And I also thought that finally there was a, you know, we had major characters that died, which I really was waiting for, because I think that, to me, it's been one of the hallmarks of The Walking Dead. They're like, ain't nobody safe. Ain't nobody, like, guaranteed to live. And it keeps you as a viewer really, like, on your toes and interested. And it had felt really safe up until this episode. So I was really happy that
good
they
point.
Stuck with, you know, that you know, that gravitas and the heaviness of the world that they're trying to create. And I appreciated that, because it's just unrealistic to think in this dire situations that people that you're watching, you can put 5 people anywhere in this situation and one of them should be dying. So I liked that. And I thought it was really good action and I'm sure that the creators were happy to let their zombie tendencies out because they've been really restrained the rest of the season. So that was cool. And it was a really good zombie horde scene. I thought just that pan back with all of them coming around the corner and everything, all of that was great. And I thought it was some good nods to what we're used to seeing with The Walking Dead, and was really good. All right, so let's jump in. They open up with the Los Angeles in the moonlight night, devoid of any lights and light except for fires kind of all around. And the massive horde of the infected are still kind of in that stadium. And the three families prepare to leave their home after hearing of Operation Cobalt. Daniel wants to kill his ass. And what happens? Dumbass Travis is like, nope, let's take him. They don't even know how to get Griselda, Nick, and Liza in the command post, so let's keep him with us. Daniel tries to reconcile with Ophelia, and she's like, fuck you. I'm going to help you get this shit, but then I'm out. And she's mortified when she realizes that her father was, you know, a torturer in El Salvador. And he was trying to keep her safe by not telling her. Okay, that sounds not about right, but whatever. And Andrew begs Travis to let him go because Daniel's going to fucking kill him no matter what. And Travis, with his dumb ass again, lets him go.
Yep.
Season 2 Rick and Shane shit, man.
Just so stupid. I don't even know. I just can't. He's so stupid, so irritating. And of course, they call this the good man because that's what he's been trying to be this entire show.
He's the worst.
Even from the beginning, I remember Rob, when we were talking about the very first episode, you talked about how he kept trying to like bond with Nick and be there for Nick. Walked into that fucking crack shack den after Nick told him all that crazy shit that happened there. With nobody with him, no fucking security, nothing. Because, you know, he's got to help him. He's got to save somebody. That dude has a problem.
Yeah.
He's problematic.
He is problematic.
I want to find out more about him in season 2, figure out what his deal is and his backstory is. And
yeah.
Why he's right back.
Something fucked him up that made him like, you got to save everybody. And I don't think things went well with him and Liza and their marriage. So, it seems like a later in life development too. Like, oh, I fucked up so much. I can't continue fucking shit up kind of thing. So I don't know. He needs some help. So Daniel tells them, you know, I went to the place. There's definitely the zombies there and we can use this shit to our advantage to get in this motherfucker right quick. Which I thought was like, he was so casual about it. Like knowing the kind of carnage that was coming.
It wasn't even casual. It was just matter of fact.
He was just like, yeah, we can use him.
He is fucking dope as shit. And when he does, he fucking just strolled. Mm-hmm. He's like, just walking in like casual as a motherfucker. Like, what are you doing here, man? He's like, oh, nothing. Just out for a walk. Like, it was no fucking big deal.
Yep. And they're like, we're going to shoot you. You better stay where you are. He's like, well, you might want to save your ammunition, motherfuckers, because I'm going to walk this way. Y'all worry about this shit that's coming right behind me and deuces and just strolls out. And then, of course, as I said, the camera pans to that great shot of they start shooting and then it's like, holy fuck. Holy fuck. And then it's like, they can't even do it. It's like a full on herd.
Yeah, we hadn't seen a herd in
the whole episode. Yeah, the whole season, swarm, I mean. Yeah. So this was probably most of the people there is probably first interaction with a true horde, like of that size. Because even when they showed them before, it was like streets and some people, but not like this.
Not like this.
No,
not thousands.
This size. Yeah, not this many.
Was it 2,000 or 20,000?
He said 2,000.
2,000. That's
still a shitload of zombies.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
How cool is Salazar, man? Like, can you imagine if 2,000 zombies were behind you? How you would be? I'd be like, you know what I mean? But he comes strolling up.
And he was smoking a cigarette. He was literally cool as a cucumber.
Just unbothered as fuck, man. Like, I loved it.
Well, that reminds me, and actually I forgot to mention when we were talking about the last episode, but it actually is clearly a character trait because he mentions that when he's torturing Adams, he says, you know, the trick is you have to keep your hands
straight. His hands.
And he pulls his fucking hand up and he's like, what? My hand is not moving, motherfucker. Are you about to be in some pain? And this was the same attitude, just like, yeah, this isn't a poker face. It's just my face. And yeah,
it's almost like the Hulk's like, my trick to not being angry is I'm always angry. Like, right. Salazar's trick to fucking like torturing people is like to always be torturing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's my, like, I don't fucking give a fuck. I'm always torturing motherfuckers. Steady as a rock.
Is that like ABT? Always be torturing?
Yeah, I don't know. Something. He's just fucking, that's just just think back in El Salvador. He's comfortable with it. Shit.
I'm going to call the episode that.
Anyway. Always be torturing.
Always be torturing.
Always be torturing. God damn.
Yeah. So that the horde descends upon the military base, command post. And, of course, they now all switch gears to try and fight off the horde and, you know, preserve whatever they can in life and all that stuff. Meanwhile, in the hospital, the doctor has spoken to the evac team and they're coming to get them and to take the critical cases they have and all the military or the medical team with them, including Liza and allegedly Chris as well. So she says, I don't know, but she said that. So, meanwhile, Daniel, Ophelia, Madison, and Travis make their way to try and sneak in because of the distraction that's created. And when the doctor and Liza hear the gunshots, they go out on the roof. And the evac, dude, that evac They're was out. So close. Done. I mean, it was on, it was like lowering to the fucking roof to get these motherfuckers.
Yeah, but the thing was, you know.
Compromised.
Yeah, overtaken, overrun practically.
Nope. They were like, we're assessing. Nope, too dangerous. Deuces. Out. Like, they were out.
It turned around and was like, good luck, guys.
Good luck, y'all.
So that doctor woman, I can't remember her name, but her credit, she turned around and was just like, all right. She's very matter of fact about it. Like, oh, that's
She's
that.
Like, nope, they ain't coming back. Y'all better go. Everybody run. Take what you can. I'll handle these patients, aka I'll kill them all and keep it moving.
Yeah.
They tell the adults tell Alicia and Chris to stay in the parking lot, and if they don't come back, to leave. And they're like, no, I'm not gonna do it. Rah rah rah. Now Chris is in the driver's seat of this car and ain't got no goddamn can't even drive. He's like, I can't drive. What good is this kid?
Yeah, he's worth this.
He can't do a goddamn thing. And Alicia's like, I'll take him. And I also love the moment where Madison's like, take care of her out loud. And then she goes to hug Alicia. And she's like, take care of him. She's like, take care of this worthless piece of shit right here. Because I want to have more car sex. And if he dies, it's going to be a problem and blah, blah, blah. So just handle it. All right, girl.
They both fuck it up.
Well, not really. I mean, the couple of officers realize also that shit is happening and take the car and was like, fuck you. I got the keys, and they make them leave.
But what's his name got his ass beat, yo, dude. They kicked fucking Chris's butt before they got the keys. Didn't they punch the shit out of him?
Yeah, they hit him a couple times. I didn't think it was beat the shit out of him. But
I thought he got knocked the fuck out, but all right. He took a punch.
He was trying to be tough.
He was trying to.
Don't touch her. Don't touch her. Blam. Blackout.
Yeah. In the holding cell, our dude Strand and Nick, they hear the gunshots and the soldiers leave. And he's like, yep, it's time to roll. When he goes to find his key, Nick's like, motherfucker, my crackhead ass took that shit.
You can use me in the apocalypse. Sneaky motherfucker, Nick.
I'm sneaky. You That's need me. That's
how you insured his fucking exit
with him.
He sure
did. Strand was like, you, Ooh,
you looking for this right here?
That look on his face was like, I picked the right motherfucker. Pushed that Doug dude. He's like, nah, this can't be the dude that helps me out of this cell. Get this motherfucker out of here. Your family going to be dead without you. Oh, wait, your wife going to be fucking another woman without you.
Oh, she's hot. Don't worry about it.
Literally, he pushed that dude out the cell and he was like, nope, this is the dude. Let's do this now. Like, for real. I love it. I also wonder how many other people have been in that cell before, Nick, that he was like, nope, nope, nope.
I wonder what he would have said if his wife was ugly. like, oh, girl.
She dead already. That's what
you
she
in, You in trouble.
He would have found a way to fuck with them either way.
Yeah, you're right. Sharon had something else.
It's like, you married this? Yeah, it would have definitely not been good. Strand laughs, as I said, and they leave the cell, and the others watch them demanding to be free. Strand's like, yeah, the key is not going to fit with the others, and they got to go. They have a greater chance of dying if they stay in the cell, so they got to roll. Nick's like, where are we going? He's like, we got to find our transport and find Abigail, he says.
Yep.
What he says. They run through a door, activates the sensor. As they make their way through, they find a zombie eating Melvin. the officer who was in the holding cell took his cufflinks. Strand's like, give me my cufflinks back, bitch, because you dead and you don't need them no more.
Bloop.
And he's like, you can keep that watch, though. I don't need that. And he takes his gun. Melvin's like, please kill me. He's like, no, fuck you. And he rolls out.
That's a very good synopsis.
That's how I read it anyways. I mean, that's what happened.
Please kill me. Fuck you.
Fuck you. I'm out. Outside the facility, Liza runs for safety, but then she realizes that she got to go back and get Nick because she's stupid too, by the way. She watches an infected soldier attempt to board a helicopter. The soldiers notice he's infected and refuse to carry him. And he kills himself on one of the helicopter's propeller blades, so he won't be reanimated.
That shit was gross.
Gross as fuck.
I think he took that helicopter down. Like, I don't think you can fly a helicopter after someone's head went through one of the tail fins.
I bet you could. You can get it up.
It might have done some damage.
Meanwhile, the infected break through that gate, which was only a matter of time, really, with that number of vampires. I mean, zombies and that little ass gate they had. It wasn't really much security for them. And they get in, and of course, then all hell really breaks loose. The watchtower comes down when that shit happens. They fucking get killed. They run inside Nick and Griselda to look for Nick and Griselda, all those people, and they ask them, the guy's like, well, he left in a suit. They ran out, and Travis stops to free all these motherfuckers with his rifle.
Using his ammo, dude.
What? What's going on here?
He's good, man.
He's trying too hard, man.
He's that good man.
Ridiculous.
Always trying to be nice.
He's that good guy.
Just ridiculous. Good now, this was this. Great. Strand and Nick are running from the infected back through the door they went through, but they can't because they activated that sensor. And as they try to get through the other doors, they can't. And Nick spots Madison, and he's like, go. Now, this is the first instance we've had of Nick actually being like
selfless,
a real human being. He's like, Mom, go.
I'm fucked.
Just get out of here. But Liza runs up with her fancy card, and they open the door, and everybody starts running.
That shit was close.
Mm-hmm. That was a good scene. I like that scene.
Had a lot of tension.
Yeah, it was good. I was like, oh, no. But I knew Strand wasn't going to. They won't put that black dude in that pretty ass suit and just have him on two episodes. I knew that wasn't going to happen. I thought Nick might not make it. So, you know. But, you know, crackheads are like roaches. They will not die. So he's looking pretty good. Daniel asked Liza where Griselda is, and she's like,
wah, wah.
Sorry, she dead. Ophelia freaks out. It's like, did you really think she was gonna live? You saw that foot, though.
Yeah, for real.
You see them killing people left and goddamn right, and you really thought
the bone was sticking out. It was fucked up bad.
Yep.
And you didn't have surgery for like 10 days.
It wasn't good. Liza said that bitch was gonna die the day it happened. She was like, no, she dead.
She
don't know it yet, but she dead. She ain't gonna last. I'm just telling you. Strand tells Madison he has a house in the water with supplies and that they should go now. They pass through the parking lot, which is filled with remains of the infected. Ophelia and Daniel watch as they believe Griselda's remains are among them. In the parking lot, Madison and Travis find Chris and Alicia, who tell them the soldiers took the SUV. Andrews appears because, you know, Travis's dumbass let him go.
Stupid.
And points a gun at Daniel. Ophelia's like, no, I loved you, kind of. Drop the gun. And he's like, I'm going to shoot Daniel. And then right when he's about to shoot Daniel, he's like, fuck this nigga. I'm going to shoot his daughter instead. Ba-boom. And shoots her in the arm.
Shoots Ophelia.
Ophelia in the arm. Travis tackles him and then beats the shit out of him.
He kind of lost his fucking, I don't know what, like.
Because
like,
you know why? All that shit was his motherfucking fault.
Quite frankly,
had he not brought Liza to that house, guess what? Nick would have still been in the house. All of this shit is his fault. I think everything that went wrong was his fault. In fact, if I really thought about it.
The Salazar's only there because he fucking ran into that barbershop.
Exactly.
His fault. The whole thing comes back. He should have done everything.
If we went back to that first episode, I'm betting there's a way that we could blame Griselda's injury on him, too.
The order they left the fucking place. I'm telling you.
She was following him. They was following him.
Under the scaffolding.
He did. He did. I don't know.
So everything is his fucking fault.
He might have caused the whole zombie apocalypse. He might have started the whole outbreak.
He might have.
I think everything is Travis's fault.
He beat shit out of dude, though. He really did.
Yeah.
Like, he threw like 20 punches. And in a semi-realistic way, his knuckles and shit were all swollen and bloody and stuff. I hate when, like, they have fights on TVs and shit, and it's like, oh, my hands are perfectly fine. Like, man, you fucking punched dude in the face on the concrete 10 times. You broke some shit. Your hand hurts. Trust me.
That's not good. Madison let him beat that dude for a while before she went over there.
They didn't stop that at all.
She was like, I don't guess he's going to beat him up right now. Let him. He needs to cut this man of the people bullshit out, so maybe this will snap him out of it. They managed to get him to, Madison finally manages to get him to stop, puts his hand on his shoulders. He puts his hand on his truck and shutters, and he's shocked, shocked at what he did. It's like, yeah, see, this is what you got to be like. After that, the remaining cars the group had are on the highway. Madison is with Strand in the car, and she's like asking for instructions, and he's like, don't take the freeway and don't go downtown. He tells her to go left to the river and follow down the path. So they're basically driving on the river, the LA River, their like little river that they call a river that's never actually has water in it, from what I understand from people that live in LA. They mentioned it to me because I was confused. Like, is this a river? It's not a river. What the fuck is it? I guess it's what they called a river. You know much about this, Rob?
I do not.
Like a sanitary canal that's an overflow when it ever rains, because it never does in Southern California. When it does, there's shit there, I guess.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, so it's like a runoff type of thing?
I think so.
Okay. Gotcha. Understood. Well, that's where they decide to drive. Reminding me of Greece, because that part of that show takes place.
Reminding me of the first episode when they killed...
Yep, they killed...
the drug dealer. What's his
Calvin.
Name? Calvin.
Yep, in that same spot.
They probably drove by
Calvin. I was hoping to see Calvin.
He probably was there. He probably
like a bag of bones all like... That would have been good. Like the varsity letter jacket, like just twitching and shit.
Twitching on the ground.
That would have been good. That would have been good.
That would have been good. Yeah, that would have been really good. So they follow him to his fucking fat ass pad. I was like, oh, he living like this, is he? But then I'm like, is that his house?
Sure seemed like it. I have to say, it was a little bit like when Ophelia got shot. I didn't know where she got shot. And then the car, and it's like only in her arm. I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, they can only kill so many people. But I knew they wasn't done. I was like, well, something bad might happen next. But, so they get to his house. He deactivates the security system and lets them in, which was like, okay, maybe it is his house. He offers them food if they want it. And Nick tells Madison that he felt like he had been living in their current situation far more longer than the others. And they just caught up to his crackhead ass.
Yeah. Yeah, like, y'all get it now. This whole world's like this. I've been living like this.
This is how shit's been looking to me forever.
I will say that Strand was like not blasé, but like I guess that comes with like super wealth, where he's just like, help yourself to whatever. See ya.
Also later, Nick's like, are we staying here? He's like, nah, we ain't staying here. We leaving.
Yeah.
So I think he also was like, they could take whatever they want. They can't keep it all anyhow.
Yeah, we're checking out. I got you.
Right. He's about to roll. Liza gives Daniel medical supplies, tells him that Ophelia's wound is clotting and that the cloth should be changed regularly. He thanks her. Liza hugs Chris, and then she walks out. Madison chases after her, and while Travis, who noticed Madison leaving, follows her. At the balcony, Strand's like, just drops all this knowledge right on Nick. He's like, nah, we can't stay. No one can. It's crazy out in these streets. They gotta embrace the madness to survive, he says.
Mm.
So now I feel like, to me, Strand and Nick, they're like the new Odd Couple, right? They're like Oscar and Felix, and they both have these like two completely workable scenarios for the zombie apocalypse. Nick being like, dude, I've been living in the zombie apocalypse this whole time.
Yeah, I'm a cockroach. I'm a cockroach. I got it.
And I know exactly how to maneuver my crackhead ass around all of this shit. And Strand is like, nah, I already know how everything works. And I already know how people act in all sorts of situations. Yeah, I feel like I'm prepared.
I feel like Strand has a level of like intellect and wealth that's like some Illuminati. Like he's like look behind the curtain. You
him
know
and Jay Z. Huh?
He's just got like he read the book. You know what I'm saying? He read the book. He got the memo.
Secret, the secret book.
You know, whatever. He read it. Mm-hmm. He's up.
He's in there. Huh?
He's up.
I like that scene between them though. I like that a lot. He tells Nick to look through the telescope, and Nick finds Abigail, who is presumably the yacht that is parked offshore. And I'm like, oh, this dude got a yacht too?
How's he gonna get, it's like 3-5 miles out there.
He got a dinghy. I'm sure he got something.
How's he got a boat 5 miles offshore?
So how's he gonna,
is it anchored out there?
That's my question.
I don't know. I guess we'll see next year, huh? So Madison continues to follow Liza. She asks why she's going so far. And Liza reveals a claw wound that she got from one of the infected while they were fleeing through the kitchen. She hands her a gun, reminding her of their promise to each other in the third episode and how Travis would be heartbroken if he had to do it.
It was better than that. She threw the exact fucking words back in her face.
Right.
Like, you do it. You can't make Travis. It'll break his heart.
Yeah, but here's the thing that she forgot. That may have been true about Madison, but Travis don't give a shit about Liza.
Yeah, you know.
I'm just saying. It probably would have broken him.
Don't make Travis do it. It'll break his heart. She threw that shit right at her, dude.
I thought more she should have said it because, like, well, you're going to make Chris know his dad killed his mom. Yeah, better for him to hate you. He already does. That's
step,
what I
hate the stepmom. Yeah.
You know,
that's a better play.
That's the pitch I would have
made.
It'll
fuck Chris up.
Like, it'll fuck Chris up.
Yeah, it was better to throw that line right back at her face. I can't lie. That was good shit. Threw it right in her face. Mm-hmm. I was like, damn. Mm-hmm. Snap.
Of course.
good callback. Good callback.
Of course, your dude Travis rolls up at the most inopportune time per usual. Madison tells him what's going on. Travis is like, seriously, we could save you. We could do something. Liza's like, come on. They don't work against it.
She was out of the hospital. I've seen shit.
You don't know. Trust me. My shit is done. Travis asks Madison for the gun and he shoots Liza.
He manned up.
He did. Everyone hears the gunshot. Alicia and Chris look for the source while Nick and Strand wonder where it came from. Chris finds Liza's body and starts crying while Travis, completely heartbroken, drops to his knees on the beach and Madison comforts him from behind while the screen pans out to
in the surf, in the water, ocean. Like the ocean splashing at their knees. I got you, boo.
Yep.
You killed that bitch. I'm so sorry, but I'm kind of not.
Sorry, not sorry. Sorry, but damn, she almost made me lose my son. Serves her right. That's why she got bit.
Yeah, you knew
saving
that.
I
was almost like, when she got bit, I was like, oh, of course. Like you, I was like, they haven't really killed like a main character yet.
Right. And I didn't think Griselda counted because she wasn't really in a lot of scenes. And I also thought, like, I don't know, Daniel seems like the type, he loved his wife, but he'll get over it.
he's already over it.
Yeah, like he's like, already at least Ophelia's alive. Like he's already moved on.
And like you said, Liza said, she was dead from day one.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't a shock.
Yeah, and I don't think he was surprised by it either.
No, so, that was a fucking gruesome injury.
It was really bad.
He knew.
Yeah, he
woke.
He knew.
Yeah, he tortures people. He fucking knows what's up.
He's like, oh, yeah, that doesn't look good.
He's a torturer.
Yeah, exactly. So, A through F, Rob, we'll start with you.
For the final or the whole
for
series?
For the final. The final, and then we'll give some more overarching thoughts.
For the last episode, I definitely give it an A+. I love this episode. It was great. Like I said, action-packed. Suspenseful, had some twists and turns. We didn't realize to the very end that Liza was bit, and then I loved it, man.
Yeah, Drew, how about you?
Ditto, A+. Everything A+. Black Ass Rob said. Yeah. It was an awesome episode, action packed. It summated things nicely. Mm-hmm. There was like a little bit of conclusion, a little bit to look forward to, a little bit to like, okay, there's gonna be 15 more episodes, and it was really, really good. I liked it.
One other thing I thought was really interesting, and you know, I hate to have to, I also give it an A. I hate to always be comparing it to The Walking Dead, but I find it interesting because we have people that are entrenched in the zombie apocalypse compared to these people just getting into it. And you see in The Walking Dead that people are so protective of their relationships and like creating this family atmosphere and, you know, having each other's back and what that means. These people through this entire season have done nothing but be like, let's leave them. Why do they have to go with us?
They have been very fucking like,
and it happened in this last episode. The doctor says to Liza, who's family now?
She did say that.
And she's like, well, wait, Chris and Travis. She's like, is it blood? Is it more than blood? How far does it extend?
You're right.
She questioned that. And Liza was like, well, not Madison or her bitch ass kids. So how about Travis and Chris?
Yes.
And like, I think it's interesting. You see, you know, the vestiges of the shittiness that we have as human beings right now.
The nuclear family.
You know, kind of rearing itself. But then in The Walking Dead, we see such a different approach to things.
Certainly in the current season.
Yes, current season. I think then. I mean, you think about when Rick woke up and you saw Shane and all the people in Atlanta and the like. They were trying to create something.
I hear you. There was a few in that series. I feel there were bellwethers that gave you progressions of how they were as a group. And one was definitely Rick killing fucking what's his name.
Who? Shane?
Yeah, killing Shane was a big one. CDC was a big one. Like, there was, like, they were different as a group after Herschel's Farm. Like, they kind of, like, evolved.
But I also think they saw the benefit of numbers. And I don't think these people know that yet.
Maybe not.
Like, now they don't see that. They see, like, numbers as a potential, like, detriment. Whereas, like, in The Walking Dead, they've grown to understand that you need numbers to be successful. So I thought that was interesting, but I really did like the last episode. I thought it set up a lot of great things for next season. And I also thought it did none of the things that we expected it to and the various points, whether it was going to be an on the road one or whether it was going to be an occupation one or whatever, or a military one. It seems like we're going to be, I bet it's on an island or something next season. I would bet.
I was thinking with the boat, like you almost couldn't have them get on a boat because a boat would be too perfect. Like if you had a boat and supplies and fuel and fucking food and water, like reverse osmosis pumps and shit, like you could be out to sea forever. Be like,
I don't think you can be out to sea forever, but I don't know.
A long ass time.
Mm-hmm. And walkers can't swim, right?
To my knowledge, no. They're not very effective if they do. They just bob around.
Oh, yeah. Because they've been in the original Walking Dead. They've been at Atlanta and, you know, in Georgia, you know, landlocked place. So.
But the governor tossed that one in the lake. I remember that. And you saw him under the water, remember? And he couldn't get up. But he couldn't float either.
I thought he was chained down when the governor did
that. Yeah, but they also can't float because the reason why you float is because of your lungs. So I feel like they can't swim.
Walk along the bottom.
They'd probably bloat pretty quickly, too.
Well, they in The Walking Dead, they did have, when Bob was still with them and shit, they were somewhere and there was a walker that was in the water that was just like,
gross.
Stunk. Oh, it was all nasty.
That was really gross.
It was like bloated.
So that'll be interesting to see. And then also we found out in the breaks during the show that they have this Flight 462 web series that they're doing, which kind of picks up this narrative from that plane we saw weeble wobbling in the air a couple of episodes ago.
Is that that?
It just this week, this coming week will be the first episode of it. And they'll be
webisodes.
Yeah. And they'll be releasing a new one each week. So
interesting.
That'd be
kind of
cool.
Yeah, I think that'd be kind of neat.
Like what happened on that plane?
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Yeah. So I'll say that. And was there anything that you wished would have happened but didn't?
Okay, for me, I would have just liked to have seen more of the teenagers struggle with the loss of convenience with Alicia and Chris. You know, for kids that age, like they've never lived in a world without TV, internet, cell phone, so that would have been kind of cool to see, especially being a pre-apocalypse or mid-apocalypse type show. And I would have liked to have seen the military just portrayed like a little bit differently, mainly with Moyers. I just hated his portrayal in general.
Yeah,
I would have liked to have seen more of a, you know, an officer with a tough mission, right? Because it's a tough mission to, you know, protect these people while at the same time, you know, fighting off a fucking zombie virus. So they portrayed him just as a buffoon and a clown, and I don't know, I didn't like that aspect of it. But other than that, I really did dig the show, and if you take the show just as a 6-episode arc, it's actually really, really well done and really, really good.
Yeah, how about you, Drew? Anything that you would have liked to have seen?
I don't even know if I could say like to have seen, you know, maybe a little bit more of the outside the like military. So you know, like you got basically the scene at the school, and you got a little bit of like the hospital going all crazy. And then all of a sudden you got like their house and the neighbor, the tan house, and then the military's there and that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, so you didn't really get a lot of like outside craziness. And I think there was a little bit more, like there should have been not more people, but it seemed like there wasn't a lot of people. Like there either should have been more bodies or more people, given the population of, like, you know, the suburb. Like, where'd everybody go? They all flew or, you know, fled town, I guess. I don't know. But no, I don't think I wouldn't change anything. Like Rob said, I thought it was a really complete 6-episode package.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I would have liked to see, like, I kept, like, waiting for Tobias to, like, show up at the gate or something, like, to be like, okay, I got out and I need to get in or something. I don't know. So I just wanted to see him again. So that was kind of, maybe he'll come back. I don't know. But I did think that it was good, you know, storytelling. One thing that I thought was kind of a loose end that they never, like, I don't know, they didn't circle back to, and I'm assuming that maybe they'll do it later, is, you know, Madison killed that principal, right? And she didn't tell.
He's already dead. He's already dead.
Well, whatever. She had to like hit him till he died. Okay. And she didn't tell anybody.
No, she sure didn't.
Like, I'm sorry,
why should she?
What are you fucking... Listen, you and me are married, right?
If you smash
somebody in the head and you come home and you're like, I'm not going to say nothing about that. And not just somebody you knew and worked for. Excuse me, somebody we both knew and worked for. Get the fuck out of here.
Remember Ben? I bashed his head in with the fucking fire extinguisher.
Come on.
How was your day?
I don't know. Something's up with that girl. To me, that's just a real like special kind of person. I could even like just not say nothing about it.
Well, and then so if you remember too, when she went to try to kill Mrs. Tan before the military showed up,
right?
She brought a ball peen hammer.
She did.
He didn't bring like a big stabbing thing.
That's what she had at the Air Force base.
She brought a fucking hammer.
She didn't bring a gun with her. She brought that fucking hammer.
I respect that. she fucking might do work.
Might be her weapon of choice as they form their zombie apocalypse squad. She might just be rolling with a hammer at all times.
Until Tyrese got fucked up, he did work with that hammer, dude. I mean, for real, he'd be bashing skulls with that fucking hammer.
So he started gaining weight and taking care of babies.
He's the only person in the apocalypse that got fat. I'm not throwing stones. I'm not like a lean, mean fucking apocalypse machine.
Everybody else was killing zombies left and right.
He was watching a baby.
I'm going to stay with the kids. Let me take care of these kids.
And not kill this dude that tried to eat us. Okay, that makes sense. Oh God, look at us. Tyrese, this dude is dead and we still bashing his ass.
He's the worst. He's the complete opposite
of Strand. It's like Strand on one end of the spectrum and Tyrese on the other. Most woke, most useless. That's where we are on the spectrum of black dudes.
Suit and tie and more fucking plaid I've ever seen on a black dude in my life. Fucking gold fucking cufflinks, fucking overalls and work boots.
Oh, and he hasn't helped his situation with his post Walking Dead shenanigans on subway trains. Where is your humanitarian?
Versus has a yacht.
Oh no, that's terrible.
You're humanitarian.
Okay, so what? Finally, what do we want to see next season? What are you hoping to see, Drew? We'll start with you.
I just don't want to see it all on a boat. Like, I don't know what they could do on a boat, how much they could be on a boat, and like what the boat is about. But I hope to see just more of what they've been doing. I think they've been doing a great job and keep doing what they're doing. But 15 episodes, I hope they don't get into. Sometimes when you have like a longer arc, like 15 episodes, and even The Walking Dead will do this to some degree, there'll be an episode that's sort of like villain of the week. Right? I'm saying it's not necessarily like progresses the show's like general theme and arc. Like maybe you have like a one or two conversation between two characters, like, blah, bitty, skibbity, boo boo. Like, oh, okay, that adds to this one long arc thing we're trying to do. But generally, it's just like, oh, this is the one thing we have to fight this week, and then we'll fight this thing and it's over. And I don't hate that, but I hope they don't do too many of those. I find those like filler episodes kind of. And a lot of shows have to do that. 15 episodes is a lot.
It is a lot, but it's a big story to tell. They got a lot of characters. I'm assuming they'll add more. How about you, Rob? What are you hoping to see season 2 Fear of the Walking Dead?
I want to see where they take the story and the characters, but I just hope they don't do The Walking Dead West Coast, where it's just a rehash of all the stuff we've already seen on the original Walking Dead.
Right.
But just with this group of characters. You know what I mean? So I feel like there's a lot of stuff that can still be explored that The Walking Dead didn't. So I want to see what they do with that and where they go with it. And, it took till season 5 before Rick and his crew found like a little society, a community that had been set up. You know what I mean? I want to see if they stumble upon more of those or, I'm curious to see where they take it. I just don't want to see, all the same shit that we've already seen.
It's funny you say you don't want Walking Dead 2.0, but like, us are just as guilty. Me, I should say, is just guilty as like comparing it to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm with you. I don't want to see the same tried and true other kind of like storylines. I want to see different sort of arcs and development. I don't want to see characters get into the same things. And that they have a pretty different setup, right? They got a junkie. they got Strand. They got some different people.
Yeah, and I also think like the whole, it will be hard to do it exactly the same because so much of The Walking Dead has been like on the road and them like traveling places, and they've also been in much more isolated situations too, whereas no offense, but California is not like that. So much less Southern California. So I think that there's going to be a lot. This is my thought anyways, that there's going to be a lot more like, The Walking Dead is always on this theme of like, what's worse, walkers or humans? And I would imagine that at the start of this zombie apocalypse, that the humans would be way worse because there's more of them, obviously. And then two, just like, you know, we talk about opportunity hoarding. This is outright
I fully expect there to be supply hoarding. Like Rob said, like, oh, there's going to be like communities they find. They're going to be in like Santa Barbara or Beverly Hills. And there's going to be some really fucking like super uber rich people that have like the entire area on lockdown. Like, you can't come in here.
Nah, it's going to be dollars. Like fucking Batman, you know, where Catwoman's like, you and your friends, you're gonna wonder how you had it so good for so long, leaving so little for the rest of us, because everybody's gonna be like, fuck you, and we don't really care, and there's no more police here to shoot people when they come in your neighborhood anymore. So
them rich people figure it out. They'll find a way.
I found rich people to be not very resourceful when things get down to it. They're very good at paying people to do things, not so good at doing things themselves. So I think it'll be interesting to see, but I do think there'll be a lot. I would assume that a boat in a zombie apocalypse would be a hot commodity in Southern California. So I think that there's going to be some strife over what happens there too. Just when they do encounter people. I mean, something we've seen over and over again on The Walking Dead is the group really understanding, like, yeah, you can't trust nobody. Everybody's out to assess what they can take from you. And
conveyances are a high commodity.
That's a big deal. But I think that they have a leg up. They got Strand, who's woke as fuck, and they got Nick, who's, you know,
his
spider sense is on fleek. They got a torturer. I mean,
They got
a good setup.
They got a junkie on fucking dial.
Yeah, man. They're ready to go.
And I dare say, I'm not saying I'm like ready to like say Travis is on board, but like he did, you know, in the end go like, you know, appropriately angry and fucking let some shit out. Like he can kick somebody's ass. Like, okay, I got it. And he did kill Liza. Like he's stepping up a little bit.
But he did those things because they were all his fault. Like, I don't know. I guess we'll see what the development is. And I bet they won't do a big time jump. They'll do some time passing. I don't think it'll be like, you know, a whole year or anything like that. Because then you would be getting into more Walking Dead territory. I think they're going to try and keep it far on the other end of the spectrum, you know, timing wise, to keep the stories very different from one another. So I think that'll be really interesting to see. And I like the addition of water because we haven't had that world and what happens to the zombies. True. And how you inhabit it and, you know, between land and water and how that works. So I think that's going to be interesting. So it'd be kind of cool to see. But I feel like an island would be bad. Like, you'd have to clear the island, like, for real, of people. Yeah, to me, like this. Yeah, I mean, you don't know. Unless it's like that Richard Branson island where there's like 12 staff members and that's it. That, like, there can't be like native people living there because you don't know. I don't know. It sounds scary to me.
I feel like an island, though, it's a finite commodity. There's so many pieces of land, and you just, you know, if you can do it, if you can extricate the walkers from that piece of land, you're golden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless they start swimming.
Yeah.
Or people start, like, launching them at you. Like rafts of fucking
good,
walkers.
That would be good, dude. Be like, walker raft. Just put their faces in the water.
Salazar's fucking...
Tie their hands together.
You don't know, dude. You don't know.
Yeah, dude. That'd be very resourceful. A fucking raft of walkers. A walker raft.
Salazar just fucking pushing them off, dude.
That would be
good.
I'd
be worried about scuba diver walk.
Oh, like, shit.
Scuba diving and they fucking come climbing up your boat. Shit, you know, like...
Yeah. Ooh, I did also notice that Strand said something too, and I forgot to mention this in the last episode. He said when the walkers were in there eating that guard guy, he said, don't worry, they're not very fast. So that tells me he's had a significant amount of interaction with these walkers prior to being locked up.
True that.
So I thought that was interesting, a little tidbit of information, certainly more.
He didn't look like he'd been in jail for very long.
Hell no, not with that clean ass suit. No.
Man, he was looking fly.
Yeah, he was. Took them cufflinks back, too. Anyways, well, thank you, Rob, for joining us for this condensed episode to clear up the season. And sorry we couldn't get it done. But yeah, we'll definitely do better next season, we'll be back for sure. And we'll do better. But I'm glad we were able to come together and get through these last three episodes. And, you know, I really like the season. I'm glad that they did the spinoff. I was a little skeptical at first, but I'm happy that it went well. And I think for the most part, people liked it. I've seen a few people grumbling. I've come to realize people just really like fucking complaining.
Well, there's definitely a, like, especially with pop culture, there's some cachet in being contrarian no matter what, especially if something's popular. You know, there's a good voice for contrarian.
But the shit they complained about, like, I wanted more zombies, but it's not The Walking Dead. Like, I don't know, just seemed like a lot of petty ass complaints. Like, you can critique something, but it just seemed like a lot of people just complained, like making up shit to complain about. It was like irritating me. Thank God the walking Fear the Walking Dead is over. Anyways, AMC, let me just say this. They've been raking in the dough. They finishing this shit on a high note. Fucking Walking Dead starts next week. They ain't playing.
They're doing good.
They are not playing.
That's what I said. You make a good show, people will watch, you know?
Facts. And I'm going to check out that web series. I'll let people know how that goes as well. So, Rob, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at BlackRob, BlackQQROB. It's the best place to get a hold of me. Follow me. I'll follow you back. Just a fun-loving dude, man.
That's true. He's getting them jokes off. Did you get my dick...
Did you get my dick message?
No, dick. What did I say?
They got my dick
you
message.
You tweeted something and I read it totally wrong. I felt I read it like dick sessions. Yeah. I was like, why did I read that dick as sessions. Dick sessions? Because you
some girl tattooed on her forearm decisions, but she spelled it D-I-C-I.
And I said, why did I read that dick sessions?
Damn. I got that. Oh, that was so hilarious. I read that when I was at work. I just cracked up. My wife looking at me like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I can't explain
it. Can't say it. Nope. Dick-cisions. I can't say that here. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search Interracial John. That's J-A-W-N. You can find me on Twitter at Leslie Mac M-A-C. And you can find that guy at Very White Guy. I think that's it.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
High five.